Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our text today is from Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins, where he talked about them. And there were the foolish. There were 5 foolish and 5 wise. And the foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And he ends it by telling us, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And today we speak not just about oil, but being ready with oil. Ready with oil. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when the USS Trepang, that was my submarine, when the Trepang got back to our home port, it was a joyous time. It was a good time. Family would come out to the docks to meet us. Now, there wasn't always a lot of time to get ready because we were in the military. We were a deployed submarine, and Operation Security said there wasn't going to be a set schedule that they could know about months in advance or anything like that. In fact, normally it was a phone tree going on between the wives so that they'd know when the boat was coming in. But even so, particularly after a long 6-month deployment, wives got dressed up. They dressed up the children. They displayed banners and signs, and they were ready on the dock to welcome us home. And we tried to get done quickly. We tried not to have duty the first day when we're back. In the submarine, you can't ever leave it unattended, so somebody's going to stay on the submarine no matter what. But we tried not to have duty so it wouldn't be us. And that way, families could unite. We could be together. At least that was the way for most of us. But there were a few sailors who volunteered for duty the days we got back, who had no family or friends that were going to be there to greet them. And they helped by volunteering for duty. And they kept the submarine ready. But it was somewhat sad because nobody was ready for them. They kept the submarine ready, but nobody was ready for them. And there is a lot to be ready with on a submarine. But today we're going to talk far more about waiting for someone to arrive, because that's what Jesus is talking of in this parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom, coming out to meet the bridegroom. They're part of the bridal procession. You could call them bridesmaids today. And the wedding was a big production with a lot to get ready for. And some things don't change. Weddings are still big productions with an awful lot to get ready for. Now these 10 took their lamps to greet the bridegroom and to walk with him. And they said, would have said if you'd asked them, they were ready. And they had lamps, so in some sense, I guess you could say they were ready, but not all of them were ready with oil. And the 5 foolish took no oil for their lamps. They weren't ready with oil. And they tried to beg, they tried to borrow. And when they couldn't, they went to go buy oil, but they were too late. The bridegroom had come, the wedding was going on, they'd gone to the banquet hall, they missed the celebration. And in fact, Jesus' words are pretty strong in their condemnation. When they got back and said, Lord, Lord, open to us, the bridegroom, Jesus answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Being ready and being ready with oil is important. And Jesus tells us too that this isn't just about them. It's for us too. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. He tells us to be ready, and not just ready, but ready with oil for his return. But what does that mean? We can all say, yeah, we should be ready for him to come back, but what does that mean to be ready? And we're going to get there. But we'll try to get there by saying, what does it not mean to be ready? What does it mean to be not ready? And we'll consider three types of not ready. First type of not ready. If you don't know Jesus and you don't know he's coming back. You see, back on the submarine, if the wife's phone tree didn't actually contact a wife to say when the submarine was coming back, she wouldn't know when the submarine was coming back. And the effect would be the same, whether, you know, she wouldn't be ready. May not have been her fault, but she wouldn't be ready. Well, if we don't share the word of God with those who have not heard it, how will they know? How will they believe? How will they be ready for his return if they never hear that Jesus died to forgive their sins, that he rose to give them life, that he returns to take them home with him? Now, that's not the lack of readiness that's in the parable. That's not the lack of readiness of the five foolish virgins. But I'll say, who's at fault if that wife didn't make it because the phone tree never called her? The person who never called her or her? And who will God hold accountable if our family and our friends and our neighbors never hear what he's done? If they've never heard, it's the first type of not ready, those who never heard. There is a second type of not ready. At least not ready with oil. We might call this being preoccupied. Sometimes my wife tells me that we're going to go somewhere, say at 5 p.m. We're going to go out to dinner. I tell her, yeah, we'll go out at 5 p.m. I'll be ready. And then I go back to my computer game, or I go back to reading the paper, or I go back to getting the sermon ready. I say, yeah, I'll be ready, because really all I need to do is, I just need to get in the car. There's not much involved. It seems like it's pretty easy. And I think I am ready to go until 5 p.m. comes, and I don't know where my keys are, and I don't have my wallet. And I have to go find them. You know, I think I'm ready. And if she asked me, I say, yeah, I'm ready at 5. That's even knowing the hour. But really, I was busy with the other things. I wanted to finish whatever else it was I was doing. And maybe it was important yard work or sermon things. That happens too. But in the end, because I didn't really put any effort in or thought into being ready, I just assumed I would be ready. I wasn't really ready. And we might tell the five foolish virgins that really, they only had one job. That maybe they were concerned with their dress or their makeup or whatever, or who they were going to see at the procession. And they didn't think about their one job, but their one job was to have oil in the lamp. And how foolish they are for ignoring the one job to focus on other things. But when we say how foolish, we speak of ourselves too, because how often we are distracted by the tasks of the world, so that we ignore being ready for the kingdom, for Christ's return. When the submarine came back, there were some wives who needed to work or were gone visiting friends or somewhere else when the submarine came back, who were ready, but really they knew when it came back, they got contacted. But truthfully, they don't look any more ready. They're not effectively more ready than those who never heard the news, because they didn't actually do any of the preparations. They were marked off as knowing, but they didn't do anything about it. It kind of showed they didn't care. And we need to ask ourselves, as we consider preoccupation with the things of the world, are we any different when we say that we believe, but we don't bother checking the oil. How foolish of us. And there's a third type of not ready. This is the type that was ready once. We got those who never heard, those are preoccupied. Now we got those who were ready one time. When the pandemic hit, we were all very concerned about ventilators and about N95 masks, and we might still be concerned, but just about the N95 masks, not so much about the ventilators, you know. But it was okay, because the government, it had ventilators. It had N95 masks. It was ready. At least with some, except that they hadn't really been checked or looked at for 10 years. And some had expired with the masks, and some just didn't work with the ventilators. And it sure didn't seem that the government was all that ready. And this really isn't about blame, because here, I have often, say, gotten a headache and went to get some aspirin out of the cabinet, only to wonder if I should really be taking this aspirin that is 3 years past its shelf date. And this can happen far more even than with the aspirin that other things that I store away for use in an emergency, but then never bother checking them again. You know, the emergency batteries that never actually get replaced. The emergency medical supplies that we don't actually use for anything. We just have them there. And maybe with the submarine, we've been talking about that, or I've been using that. So maybe a wife thought she was ready, because after all, she could just wear the exact same dress that she wore the last time, but maybe she's lost or gained weight and it doesn't quite fit. Maybe the signs that she made last time had a date on them and now it's out of date and she's going to end up doing a line out and hope that it looks okay. And maybe the virgins thought they were ready, because after all, they'd been to a wedding last month. Or 3 years ago, like my aspirin. And maybe we can think that we're ready because we can say, well, I was baptized once, I was confirmed once. And don't get me wrong, those actually are great gifts that God gives. He gives us promises and life in baptism. We confess before the world that he's given those gifts in confirmation, and those are great gifts. But the question before us today is not if those are great gifts that we should celebrate, but do we celebrate them and live in them? Or did we ignore them since then and let them get out of date? And I'm not saying God's promises ever expire, but our faith in those promises, that might be a different story. We need to ask today, is the oil still ready? And we had our three types of not ready. Our never heard, our preoccupied, and our, well, we were ready once. And another type of ready once might be those who believe once saved, always saved, and they don't come back. Jesus here warns us against that thinking. What does it mean to be ready? Well, that's simple. It means to have faith. It means to have a living, an active faith. That's no different than having faith, because faith that isn't living or active is no faith at all. And what does it mean to have living and active faith? Well, it means to have a faith that is fed by word and by sacrament. It means to have a faith that, as we're fed by word and sacrament, serves. Back to those emergency supplies. If you have those emergency batteries or emergency medical supplies, the way to make sure that they're current is when you buy new aspirin, you put it in the emergency one and take the one out of the emergency part out. That's how a way to make sure that your emergency supply is actually still good. But that means that you're still using those supplies. If you're using those supplies, they'll be good. You don't just store them and never touch them and hope that they're okay. And what does that mean with faith? It means that as we hear word, as we hear sacrament, that we live in anticipation of the arrival of the kingdom, of the full revelation of our salvation. It means we don't start looking for our faith. We don't start looking to discover what it means when we hear that the bridegroom has arrived. A living act of faith means that we let his return, the culmination of our salvation, be central to our life. More important than those things that keep us preoccupied, our books, hobbies, our works, jobs, whatever. It's not that we don't do those. We do. But we do them in support of our neighbor. We do them in support of what we've heard in his word, that God has come caring about us and our neighbor. And Christ is central in all that we say and do. And what if we say, when we think about that and say, you know, I don't do that. I am not ready. Well, God is the one who gives the oil. If we find that God is not in how we use our money or our time or our talents, we go to those people who sell oil right away. We go back to word and sacrament. That's where God sustains our living faith. We remind ourselves there, or God reminds us even more accurately. God reminds us through his Spirit what he's done and promised. And what he's done as promised is giving us life from death. And there is nothing more important than that. We let God give us the oil so that we're ready. And we use it in our daily life. As we share that word that we've received. As we serve our neighbors with those lives that we've been given. And God is faithful. He makes us ready. He gives us the oil. So be ready. That's the word for today. Be ready with oil. The sub came back each time. How much more surely it is, how much surer it is that our Lord comes back. He has promised he will, and his word has never failed. So be ready. Remain here. Hear his word. Remain ready. Hear his word in your home devotions. Remain ready. Take the sacrament. Remain ready. Let those word and sacrament live in your life. And as God cares for you, care for your neighbor. Practice that word in your life. Let the Spirit move. Don't grieve him or fight him. Pray daily. Be anxious. Be anticipatory of the Lord's return. And God gives you the oil. You will be ready. You are ready. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.